Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. You can check out our blog at kosherscene.wordpress.com. Our guest this evening is the owner chef of Ladino Tapas Bar and Grill, the newest restaurant on the rich tapestry of culinary jewels in Manhattan. Good evening, Chef Alexandre.
Good evening.
Let me ask you a question. First of all, how did you decide to become a chef? At what point in your life did you decide to become a chef? And what was your training?
Well, it started with my dad, who actually is a chef. He owned a restaurant in France and a hotel. And I followed his step. And I really enjoy, starting cooking when I was 14 years old. And then I decided, after my whole training in France, I decided to work in New York City. And since then, I'm still in New York City.
Did you go to culinary school in France or in the States?
My culinary school was Les Sorbets à Noirmoutier. It's like, I would say, 4 hours away from Paris on the coast near La Loire River. And I got my diploma over there. I was 18 years old.
And then you came to the States shortly after that?
When I got my diploma, I went to work 2 years in England, the first year in Southampton, and second year close to the Heathrow Airport in a hotel to practice my English language. I think it was very important for me, to work in England, so it will help me out later on in the future, to communicate, with the other people. And then after that, I went back to France, to do my National Army, who actually I was cooking for a minister de la Défense for a year.
In what year did you come to the States?
I came in the States in 1996.
Did you intend at the time to just stay here, or was this originally something temporary?
It was supposed to be temporary. I was supposed to get to work only for a year and a half. I had my visa with Christian Delevoye at the Nico Hotel, the Essex House. And I was supposed to, go back to my country and take over my dad's restaurants. And I never left New York since then. I'm still here.
What are some of the restaurants that you have worked, both kosher and some of the better known non-kosher ones?
I would say, in a non-kosher, my best experience was Christian Delevoye, Jean-Georges. I would say Léal, when I was a chef at Léal, Steak Frites, Union Square. And kosher, my best experience was when opened Box 3. It was one of the top, really, the French restaurants at that time.
I understand you were also the opening chef at La Carne Grill.
Yes, I was doing consulting and opening the place for La Carne Grill, but it was only a short-term decision on that. And I went back after in a non-kosher after La Carne Grill.
Now, for a French chef who's used to using very rich butter-based sauces, it must have been a tremendous challenge to cook kosher where you cannot do any of the things that are just, the staples of the kosher cuisine. How did you adjust? How did you surmount that challenge?
it's not only only the French chefs. I think it's all the chefs in the world. It's not easy to adapt a new cuisine to a kosher industry. Actually, has been developed a lot for the last past years. There is more product on the market who we can use. It needs a lot of discipline, and you need to research and need to change and adapt yourself, you know, to make sure you know the recipe can work in your in a kosher style. For French chef, you know, is we have a lot of variety of cuisine, you know, in France. You know, as you can see, we surrounded by beautiful countries like Italy. You have Portugal, Spain, Germany, you know, Switzerland. So you get all these influences, you know, bring you know the food style of France. So it's not only butter and cream. We have, you know, we have all the rest of the influence of the other countries. That's why we are a lucky country, actually.
Now, let me ask you something. Of all the cuisines, why all of a sudden a Mexican or Latin American cuisine? Why not another French restaurant or an Italian restaurant? Why Latin American? Considering you are European, I would think you're more familiar with any of the European cuisines. Why do something so different?
First of all, the French technique, you know, the basics are the same almost as the Spanish food. It's just, you know, the ingredient changes. As why opening a kosher Latino tapas restaurant is because it's never done before, and due to the economy, I would say it's a perfect concept to open. Or the prices are more reasonable than a regular steakhouse or French steakhouse. All the ingredients are very, very expensive, and I would say this is a new flavor. You know, everybody does French steakhouse, Asian, but nobody really done Latin fusion. I don't call it a Mexican restaurant because I take, you know, recipes from Portugal, Spain, Cuban, Ecuadorians. And it's all mixed up together and makes, you know, the Latino restaurants, you know, fusion, Latin cuisine.
Now, you call it Latino, which brings to mind a very, very rich Spanish Jewish tradition. Are there any dishes in your current menu or dishes that you plan to bring out later on that would be based on that Judeo-Spanish tradition?
We are working for now for a menu is I know we're capable to handle for now. You know, in a couple of weeks we're going to increase, you know, the volume of the items on the menu and diversify a little bit more, and then so like that, you know, I would be more comfortable, you know, to do a little bit high-end dishes. As now, because it's a new concept, is it demands a lot of training with the staff and even myself, as you know, the dishes to come out perfectly. So you know, it's restaurant business is always something is always evolving. You always start small, then you get a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, and it's always a training yourself. You know, to make the customer, you know, happy.
And why the name Latino? Why not some other Latin American sounding name?
Latino, it was an old Jewish name, or is between Mexican, Latino, and Jewish. And I think we'll come out in, you know, the perfect name, Latino. And it sounds very, I would say, fancy too in the same time, you know. And I would say Latino is close to Latino, and you know, and it's perfect for the market.
What I like as I walk into your restaurant is the very, very Mexican flavor of the decor, the ambience, the fact that, for example, when I was here last time on Saturday night, there was a very, very lively crowd that seemed to just, you know, delight in the particular ambience, in the particular decor. As I look around, you have a lot of Diego Rivera paintings done by somebody from Uruguay, same city I come from, Montevideo, by the name of Alec Morales, who seems to mimic Diego Rivera fantastically well. In fact, Diego Rivera would probably have a tough time telling it's not him. Alec seems to be a very, very good artist. How do you go about deciding, for example, whom you're using for the live music, who also happens to be somebody from South America, from the other side of the river? He's from Buenos Aires. How do you go around finding these people? Do you just research something that will be complementing the particular theme, or do you look for a certain talent, for a certain hidden message that the music and or the painter bring to the table?
I'm going to say is what I'm trying to create is not the people just to come to eat. They have to come like a show, like a place where they can have fun and remember. You know, it's not a canteen where you just come and eat. I want to create that Latino flavor, Latino ambience to the place to have fun. It's what it's about is fun. And when I did, you know, research about, you know, the painting, the artist, well, Alex Morales is excellent. You know, it's about the feelings, you know, but you talk to the person, you feel the person, the way, you know, is how he's going to create his painting is about trust. So it takes time, you know, it takes time as hiring a cook, a dishwasher, or as I'm going to hire a musician. Had a several conversation with a musician. I told him exactly what I'm looking for and what the clientele, you know, what we're looking for, and what's making everything, you know, this makes the whole entire concept is demand research and quality people.
When you first opened up, you opened up roughly about 10 days before Passover, and you had a Passover menu right from the beginning, which means that you started out, let's face it, with a little bit of a handicap, a lot of things you could not do, period. Now that Passover is over, now that you have a little bit more latitude, how did you change that menu? How did you enhance that menu?
Oh, the new menu was already planned as research already 2 months ago. Before Passover was the last minute decision. I didn't want to open for Passover, you know, just 6 days before. And the last day, well, I decided, you know, just a couple of days before we're going to open with non-Passover menu, I just changed my mind. I said, you know what, just let's open with Passover. I have a possibility to do it. I said, you know, this couple of days is going to help to train my staff, and, you know, it's the opportunity to, you know, bring a new Passover dishes, you know, to the Jewish community. So I decided, you know, to move forward and doing Passover. But after that, the menu is, I would say, 65% bigger and different flavor. You know, there is a lot of times, you know, you cannot get, you know, during Passover. And like I would say, you know, chipotle, you know, something I won't be able to get, you know, flour tortilla or corn tortilla, something, you know, I cannot get. So, you know, a lot of dishes are way different and available new ingredients that make my food completely taste different because you marinate, you know, it involves a lot of marinade, a lot of dressing, you know, for the Latino cuisine.
Another change that I've noticed is your bar, you only had wines, and when you first opened up, you only so had a very limited selection. I see that now, not only do you have a much richer selection, you also have various cocktails, various liqueurs, and so on. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
When we started, you know, to open, I didn't have a full liquor license at that time. But when we had the option, you know, to open for Passover, I said, you know, that's okay, we'll be fine. And then after that, now I have your liquor license. I have a full bar. I have different cocktails. We have mojitos. We have frozen margarita. It's a special recipe for me. It's really, we have different teas. I have mate tea from Argentina, which is very something unique. You know, you don't have that in New York, or maybe in south of America or California. So, you know, we bring, we keep adding new stuff, new ingredients, new flavor. To make us so special about it.
Now you mentioned mate. Let's face it, mate. Not only does it not exist much of it in certainly not in kosher restaurants, mate also happens to be one of the best antioxidants. So obviously, you're fostering an atmosphere of healthy food. Tell us some of the stuff that you make different now because of the health concern of the population, something that 20, 30 years ago would not have been as important. For example, the meat. When I grew up in Montevideo, the population would eat, if you were Jewish, you would eat meat twice a day. If you were not Jewish, you would eat meat even for breakfast, three times a day, because it was the cheapest thing there was. In Montevideo, Uruguay used to be the world's biggest exporter of beef. Argentina was right next to it as the second biggest exporter. Of course, eating all that red meat so much is not healthy, plus the fact the meat was not as lean as it is today. So you're using a cuisine that is very, very rich, and yet you're managing to do healthy stuff. Explain that a little bit to the audience, please.
Oh, the cuisine, if we start with my tapas menu, they are like small portions, around 4 ounces. So, you know, the clientele have the option, you know, not to eat just meat. You know, they have the option to take a small portion of meat and small portion of vegetable. For example, I have white asparagus tapas, and we have short ribs, you know, costillas de res, with smaller portions of a person who want to have some meat, but they want to be light and they don't want to go home and feel heavy, so they can go to the tapas and smaller portions, so it's much healthier and it's easier to digest, and they can choose if they want to have 3 tapas or 6 tapas. After that, I would say the entrees, you know, they're very controlled, you know, portions. You know, we don't do big portions. My biggest steak is 12 ounces. It's a ribeye. You know, the fillets, 10 ounces. We don't go over, you know, big portions. I don't think, you know, it's not the way, you know, to feed the people, you know. It's not because you give something very big, you know, they will enjoy too. You have to give by the price, you know, and you know, the right portions. You want to come people to come back not just 2 times a week, even more if they like, but they won't gain weight because, you know, they have a variety of foods and very dietetic, I would say.
One of my favorites among your appetizers, for example, is the guacamole, which goes perfectly at the bar. Just about everything. It seems to be a great complement to the various drinks. One thing I noticed about your guacamole, it is not as spicy as some others, which means that you get to enjoy more of the original flavor, which is no longer masked by a lot of spicing, like some others do. I noticed in general that the flavors of the various food that I've tasted here seem to be very, very natural. And compared to other establishments, like I said a second ago, not masked, but the real stuff. Was that a conscious decision? What caused you to make that type of decision? I mean, you could just as easily have made it spicier or masked the taste with something else. Why did you decide not to, as seems to be the norm in New York?
Well, I think as a general population, they don't want, to have too spicy food. You know, it's not very good, to be digest. You know, some people, it's not very healthy sometimes. And because it's a new concept, for the Jewish community, I didn't want to be some flavor too strong because that's going to scare them off, or, I think you have to go a little bit by a little bit. Some dishes, they are a little bit spicy, maybe a two or three on the menu, but, the rest, is kind of mild. The guacamole, we can adjust as the taste of a customer like. If you want some mild, if you want it to be more spicier, we can do that. So we can always, adjust our cuisine depend on the taste of a customer. And, I think that's the best way, for me to do the concept.
Yeah. Now, aside from the beautiful decoration, aside from the fact that every time I come in, there seems to be a new painting on the wall, a new Diego Rivera, what else do you plan to introduce on the near future? Aside from the decor, I mean, as far as food, as far as entertainment, what else do you plan to introduce?
The thing is with me is there is something new coming through my mind, and the last minute I decide to add a couple of more painting. I'm probably going to have new things on the menu, things I have already planned, but I'm not really sure yet. It's always everything surprises. So if you come in the next few months, there is going to be a few things going to be different. It's just, that's the way I am. I keep researching and, keep the things new.
Well, as you said, a restaurant has to constantly evolve. Otherwise, it gets boring. And every time I come in, there is always something exciting, even though you've only been open just a few weeks. But every time, there is something new. People that I have seen the review in my blog have come in and told me that I understated the truth. It's even more exciting than I made it sound. That is very, very important element, a testament to your skill as a chef, to your skill as a restaurateur. Now, without divulging any secrets, what are some of the things that you plan for the future?
Well, there is one big thing I plan, to do in the future is I will project to do a cooking school. I don't know yet the place and the time, but it's something I already planned to teach the new concept to people who want to taste and try and make it home. So it's something I'm planning right now, and I'm looking into it very hard, and it will happen very soon.
Very good. Now, you said cooking school. By that, you mean kosher or cooking in general?
It's going to be strictly kosher. I believe I stay kosher, and I stay with my Ashkara, I stay with Yoyu. And anything I do in kosher industry has to be perfect.
Now, I understand when you first came to the States that one of your first jobs was in a kosher restaurant. When you decided to become a restaurateur yourself, of all the things, having experienced all the challenges of the kosher cuisine, why did you decide I want to have a kosher restaurant?
As now, I think it was the best time for me to move forward kosher as a Latin cuisine, because I found the concept will be a perfect time for for a Jewish economy, for Latin cuisine, because it's an expensive concept, and it's reachable for anybody who wants to eat in a restaurant. They can come to us, to see us and eat. They won't feel a pain in a wallet at the end of a dinner, because for me it's very important. And as any restaurateur, you need to make money, you need to pay your bills. But in the same time, you don't want to hurt your community. And as all around, the restaurants are very, very expensive. Steaks are very expensive. All the appetizers, the restaurants are like $20 or more. And you come to my place, and it's half a price.
It's half a price, and yet the food is very, very good, very appetizing. Now, let's talk a little bit about the idea of a bar. As you said yourself, kosher restaurant coupled with the bar, that is a relatively new concept in New York, at least. There is only one other place. It's a completely different cuisine. It's a completely different atmosphere. Here, I find people of all ages. People who are young, people in my age group, which are about roughly retirement age. And everybody seems to be comfortable. I've been here a few times. The atmosphere is right. It's not the place that is only the young ones or only the old ones, but you have something that makes everybody feel welcome. How long did it take you to realize how to have that type of atmosphere? How long did it take you to work on the particular concept that is Ladino?
I think it's, to have a type of clientele what I'm looking for is it's who I am, and it's with the management, is with me, and the crew who I'm hiring. They are all like me. We are very friendly people, and we are open to everybody, and not only the Jewish community, but non-Jewish too. We have 25% of clientele are not Jewish, who blends in a dining room, because it's not only just kosher cuisine, it's everybody's food. Everybody, likes to have healthy food, so it's not only Jewish people, it's non-Jewish too.
Well, let's face it, in New York, with the ridiculous prices of the rent, the real estate, a true kosher restaurant could not exist were it not for the non-Jewish customers. The fact that there is a non-Jewish clientele coming in attests to the fact that the cuisine is authentic, that the food tastes great, and it attests to your dedication as well as that of your staff. Now, going back to an earlier question, how long did it take you to come up with the idea? How much research did you do into deciding, I want a restaurant that's going to look like this, I want a restaurant that's going to have this type of atmosphere? Now, I understand you've been in the restaurant business for a long time. You come from a family that's been in the restaurant business. But even so, you must have done a lot of research before you decided Ladino is what I want. How long did it take you to do that research? And aside from the food, what else did it entail?
Well, just a year ago, I was working at the airport at JetBlue Terminal 5, and I was running five restaurants, Asian, Mexican, a tapas bar, a French restaurant, a steakhouse, and I saw the opportunity in tapas restaurants where people sometimes don't want to eat a full meal, just to have a little break after work and have maybe a glass of wine or margarita, just eat light, but a little bit of variety of food, and just not one steak or just one fish or just one salad, just three tapas. and you know, and go home. And then when I saw the, I had the opportunity, you know, to open a kosher restaurant, I said, well, that's going to be the great concept, you know, in a kosher restaurant. But yes, you know, it takes, you know, a long, long time to set up a menu, because you need to research, you know, with all these companies, and to look like if you can get these ingredients, and it takes a very, 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 very long time. Then, you know, you have to find, you know, the right tools, to buy the right tools, you know, the right equipment, the right staff, nice, right decor. And, you know, it takes time, research, help, a lot of help from my friends, family, or, you know, give me advices. And then it come out, you know, after a couple of months, it come out of, you know, very good and very nice. So.
And it's quite obvious that you have done quite a bit of research. It's quite obvious that you have taken a lot of advice, and judging by how things are going so far, you're destined to be around for a long, long time. And our time is up. Thank you very, very much for being our guest. Thank you very much, Chef Alexandre Petard. Have a great evening, and to one and all, ladies and gentlemen, good night, and thank you for listening to us. Please come back next Wednesday night for another exciting show. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.